Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me on the telephone this morning is Jason Croft of Fire Island Bakery. Welcome, Jason, and thanks for joining me. So, Jason, I always like to start the show by asking my guests a little bit about themselves, including their connection to Alaska. How did you get here or end up here? And then kind of your connection to agriculture. And we'll certainly get into that at length with your connection with the bakery. But tell us a little bit about your personal connection to agriculture, if you have one.
I sure do. So what brought me up to Alaska in the first place was after college, I moved up to northern Minnesota and did guiding for a few years and met a few folks up there in the guiding industry who had a connection to Alaska, and they talked about it kind of with a starry look in their eyes as this great land of wilderness and a place that should be explored by anybody who's interested in the outdoors. So that was enough for me. So I packed up my bags with my girlfriend at the time, and I didn't have any work lined up, but she had work lined up at Spring Creek Farm.
Oh, okay.
As a seasonal farmhand. So we moved on to Spring Creek Farm in the spring of 2008.
Okay.
And I spent my whole first summer in Alaska on Spring Creek Farm, kind of roaming around the pastures there and just generally getting a feel of the agricultural scene in Alaska. Shortly after that growing season, I moved into Anchorage for work and found my way into what is now the family business,
yeah.
Fire Island Rustic Bake Shop. And I started that business with my now wife and father-in-law and mother-in-law.
Okay.
In the fall of 2008, winter 2009, we were laying the tile on the floors and painting the walls in our original downtown location just off G Street.
Okay.
I did that for the better part of 2 years, but my wife and I, Greta, were not quite satisfied with food industry restaurant work. We both just had this itch to do more outdoor work, and specifically, we both had this strong curiosity for agriculture and farming. So we packed up our bags in 2010 and road tripped back down to the Midwest, where I'm from.
Okay.
And started farming without any real connection to that profession in terms of job experience.
Just wanted to give it a try, huh?
We just learned on the job. So I threw myself into it particularly hard. I worked simultaneously on vegetable CSA farms, dairy livestock farms, and an orchard, you know, that first summer, getting as much experience crammed into my hands as I possibly could and learning the craft of small farm agriculture, where you're managing a diversity of vegetables, flowers, bees, orchards, and livestock animals on pasture. And I really took to that. The diversity of agriculture is what attracted me the most. I wasn't particularly interested in a focus on just flowers or just vegetables. I was really keen on, and perhaps this connects back to my background in college, I had a wildlife ecology degree. So I was looking at the interconnectedness of it all, and just became really fascinated with that aspect of small farm agriculture and how folks can use, for example, pigs to rotate them over their pastures to clear new land and simultaneously fertilize it and then plant cover crops to build up the biomass and then go ahead and do vegetables a year or two down the road in that same spot that was previously just weeds. That's what I really focused on as a new farmer. And so a short period of time later, after we moved to the Midwest, my wife and I started our own farm just outside of Madison, Wisconsin. And we had a 40-acre plot.
Wow.
10 acres of that was just a woodlot. 20 of that was pasture in varying states of weediness. And then the other 10 was sort of a mix of garden beds and orchards that we moved onto this farm as a rental opportunity. We found it on Craigslist and were shocked at how inexpensive it was for a house and a barn and a small greenhouse and tools and a tractor and
all
kind of everything
things.
You needed.
Yeah.
Anything, all the major components of starting out farming were in place. And this family, they just wanted someone to farm it.
Okay.
And so we found them online 2 days after they posted this ad, and it was sort of serendipitous. And so we immediately made plans to move out onto the farm and start working it. And we had, I guess you could say, we got in pretty deep pretty quickly. Started off with pigs and laying hens and meat chickens and turkeys and flowers and vegetables and an orchard and beef.
Wow, Jason.
All those things were happening in year one.
Jeez.
But I had worked up a few years of experience from having labored on other farms. So I had threads of experience from all those things I just mentioned.
Okay.
And I kind of pulled them all together under the banner of my own farm. But what got my wife and I hooked on it was the interconnectedness of running a diverse farm, and sort of the fascination level was really high for both of us, and we found it very exciting, and the work, I guess, really spoke to both of us. It's what we saw ourselves doing before we even moved to the Midwest, and then there we were doing it. However, the harsh realities of small-scale agriculture, as I'm sure you're well aware, are it's hard to get established, and there's not exactly a lot of available capital for beginning farmers to acquire land and the tools. And even some of the most basic things, like getting up a hoop house, you know, the capital is generally not available from traditional funding sources for small farmers, so we just scrapped by with the meager savings that we had, and we continued to have off-farm jobs even while we ran our own farm. So we were farming for other people during the day and then running our own farm on evenings and weekends.
Wow.
So to move the story along, we ran that farm until the winter of 2013 into 2014, at which point our son... excuse me, into 2015, at which point our son was born, I had to look at a more serious off-farm job to bring in more income to help with our farming habit. And the job that I got was a small Alaska seafood startup company that was direct marketing traceable wild Alaskan seafood to Midwestern consumers. So it was delivered right to their doorstep, sort of borrowing on the CSA model.
Yeah.
But applied to fishery. They called it a community-supported fishery.
Right.
And I got hired on as their regional manager to oversee their accounts in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa, and Michigan, was their initial footprint. And that company is called Sitka Salmon Shares.
Yeah.
So I worked for them for a year based out of the Madison area, kind of doing a blend of operations, on-the-ground operations, coordinating all of our drivers, and sales. So meeting with a lot of the chefs in major metropolitan areas and getting them to take another look at high-quality seafood versus sort of the commodity seafood they were used to getting through their distributors. That job took me into an opportunity to relocate to Alaska, specifically Sitka, just 1 year into the job.
Okay.
And so my wife and I took a hard look at that opportunity and the opportunity of staying where we were on our farm. And we decided to close down the farm, as painful as that was. And we moved ourselves and our child and a few personal possessions up to Sitka. And I ran a seafood processing plant there for this small wild Alaskan seafood company. And so the farm stayed in kind of a pause mode. All of our possessions that we had were big enough to fit into a Connex. We kept stored in a 40-foot Connex just outside of Madison for $30 a month. And I retrieved all of those items when we moved up to Anchorage
okay.
in 2016. 2018. I flew down to Minneapolis and got a truck and a trailer and brought everything up to Alaska. And my wife and I gave our farm a new life by partnering with the family bakery, Fire Island Rustic Bake Shop, by starting an urban farm.
Okay.
So,
well, Jason,
the farm lives on again.
Yeah, I just have to interrupt you real quick to remind folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me for the show this morning is Jason Croft of Fire Island Rustic Bakery. And I can't believe how much I've learned about you in the first segment of this show. I thought I kind of knew you, but all of a sudden there's this whole other side to Jason that I didn't know about. That's fascinating. So now you've relocated to Alaska or to Anchorage. What year are we in now?
So came back up to Anchorage in October 2016.
Okay.
Having left the seafood company I was with, the hours were a bit too demanding for me being a new father. I wasn't seeing a lot of my son. And, you know, there was an opportunity to re-enter the family business that I was a part of in the early first 2 years,
yeah,
2009 and 2010. So I came back and took a general management position with the family business and help my wife get started our farm in an urban format right here in Anchorage. So we promptly put up a hoop house in our backyard in the Airport Heights neighborhood and expanded the existing beds behind the bakery, which is in Airport Heights.
Yeah.
And this summer, which is our second summer operating the urban farm, we've gained access to a vacant lot in the neighborhood that, as far as we know, hadn't had a building on it for several decades. So we contacted all of the property owners in the Airport Heights neighborhood that we could see from the plat maps where there was no structure on these properties. And we wrote a letter to all the folks who owned these properties and got a response back from one of them fairly quickly to say, absolutely, they accepted our offer to farm their undeveloped parcel of land here in the Airport Heights neighborhood. So now we've got a 50 by 60 foot continuous plot, which is far larger than anything else we're working with right now, which is otherwise kind of a smattering of raised beds in our backyard and at the bakery. So now we kind of look and feel a lot more like a farm. We've got it fenced off. We brought in a bunch of compost to amend the soil, and we have 4 foot beds, I believe 18 of them we have in production.
Wow.
And they're about 40 feet long, 45 feet long. And so all of the flowers and vegetables that we're producing on our urban farm are being sold either at the bakery, to the bakery for them to put on sandwiches, make garden salads out of, top our breakfast sandwiches with, or turn into soup. So it all goes into the savory program at the bakery.
Okay.
And the little bit of extra that we can produce above and beyond what the bakery uses, we sell at the bakery's Airport Heights Farmers Market, which started just last summer.
Yeah. Wow. So much, Jason. I feel like I have a much greater respect for why you appreciate Alaskan agriculture so much and why at Fire Island you guys are so committed to local, et cetera. It's clearly because not only have you done it and worn the hat and got your hands dirty, but you're doing it once again. So that's incredible. What's the name of your urban farm there in town?
Well, we named it, we kept the name that we had originally when we were in Wisconsin. We named it Turnstone Farm.
Okay.
So Turnstone is derived from the ruddy turnstone, which is a shorebird that nests in Alaska.
Oh, okay.
So we wanted to maintain the Alaska connection when we were in the Midwest, and so we named it after an Alaskan shorebird. Very, very few people made that connection.
Yeah.
That Turnstone is namesake is a bird. So we kept that name and reapplied it to the urban setting that we're in now, and we have myself and my wife. My wife's the primary operator of the farm.
Okay.
She's kind of a 20-hour-a-week engagement on that farm in terms of doing the books and the payroll, determining what we're going to plant and when, and the sequence of the flowers for making her bouquets. And then we went ahead and hired 2 part-time helpers this year, which last year we didn't do, and paid for it by not having much of a weekend for the entire summer last year.
Yeah.
And I think anyone who gets into agriculture understands the value of a break.
Absolutely.
Just clear your mind, give your body a rest, because it really, as far as a profession goes, it can really wear you down physically and mentally during the growing season, especially in Alaska where it's sort of hyper-compressed.
Yeah.
There's really no end to what you need to do now.
Yeah, there's always
something.
In the Alaska
agriculture world, you do not have time to make up for many mistakes or lost crops or seeds that don't germinate. You just got to keep forging ahead. So I think even though in terms of financial viability, we maybe would have been better putting off hiring folks into year three or four, we just felt for our own sake this was a necessary element to build in sooner, is to give ourselves a day off. So we did that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's no real way to put a value on your mental health, but boy, is it ever important to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So Jason, for listeners that haven't experienced Fire Island Rustic Bake Shop before, and I don't know if there's many out there, but there might be. So let's talk about those two operations real quickly. Tell us first about the first shop and where it's located and how folks can find you, et cetera.
So the first shop, which is our original location, is at 1343 G Street. It's at the corner of 14th and G in what is called the South Edition neighborhood in Anchorage. So
okay.
It's just a couple blocks south of the Park Strip.
Right.
Which I think a lot of folks can find their way to the Park Strip in Anchorage. And we were fortunate enough to, I say we, that's my father-in-law, Jerry Lewansky, and his wife, Janice Fleischman, and then my wife, Greta, and I, we all, the four of us, came together in late 2008 to whip up the plans for a bakery that Jerry had been dreaming about since he retired from being the superintendent of Alaska State Parks. So this was a second career for him, and he promptly went to baking school at the San Francisco Baking Institute right after retiring, and then came out the other end with a degree in professional baking.
Wow.
And wanted to start a real-life bakery, even though none of the four of us had really much professional baking experience other than my wife, Greta, who had been working at Great Harvest for several years through college.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting assortment of bedfellows here, a family business where we had a baking degree and me with some restaurant experience as being a line cook through college, and then my mother-in-law, Janice, who was retiring from being a principal at East High School. We were all just kind of finding our way as we started this bakery in February 2009 with no guarantees at all that this was going to work or that Anchorage was ready for an artisan bakery with traditional European sourdough bread and real croissant, laminated doughs, and Parisian macarons, and, you know, high-end organic ingredients that we're sourcing very carefully from all over the country and supporting small producers who are focusing on quality over quantity. So that was reflected in our prices. And, you know, I can recall the first few weeks in business of us kind of being a bit nervous as we worked through our day, not sure if anyone was going to buy these scones and croissants that we were making, because there wasn't anything really like it in Anchorage or even Alaska at the time.
Right.
And I'm happy to say now, almost 10 years later, that we were wrong.
Yeah.
Alaska is ready for it, and we've had a very warm welcome from the Anchorage community.
Absolutely.
We've had a line out the door really since that first month we opened in February 2009.
Well, congratulations, and that's exciting. I know it's always on my list of things to do when I make it into Anchorage, and I'm sure listeners are intrigued now to go find you guys out if they haven't done that before. Just another quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me on the phone is Jason Croft of Fire Island Rustic Bake Shop and Turnstone Farm in Anchorage. So you started, it's been just about 10 years, and now you have the second location that you mentioned there in Airport Heights, another incredible spot to get these delicious items that you guys are whipping up every day. And I think you and I connected at that location last year. You were gracious enough to host a little fundraiser for Alaska Farmland Trust there with the farmers market that happens at that bake shop. So you guys are still doing the farmers market once a week there at the Airport Heights location?
Yeah, we started it last year. have a Wednesday evening market, and we've continued that on this year. So it's every Wednesday from the end of May through the end of August, and it's 3 to 7 p.m. And we can fit about a dozen vendors, give or take, in our parking lot,
Yeah. Leaving
a little bit of room for folks to park. And then we do live music. We've partnered with the Alaska Songwriters Association, and they've been generous enough to sort of manage our music program. So they give us a local musician weekly to partner with our market to provide folks with a really welcoming and entertaining atmosphere. And every once in a while, we'll also add in a fundraiser for a nonprofit that we feel kind of shares our values as human beings and as business people. So we will partner a nonprofit with a local brewery or cidery, and the proceeds from the sales of that beer or cider will go in total to the nonprofit that we've partnered them with. And we've worked with Alaska Farm Rent Trust last year. This year we worked with an organization called Challenge Alaska that gets physically disabled kids outside and give them an opportunity to be active, playing basketball and baseball, often in wheelchairs. This year also we have on deck a immigrants' rights organization, kind of our opportunity to speak out a little bit as business people that we value all forms of life. We value people from all countries, and we want everyone to feel respected in America. So we are taking a little bit of a stand in some regards for the organizations that we choose to support. We've also got an organization called Awake that is an abused women's organization to help provide funds to women who are struggling with domestic abuse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we pretty carefully select the nonprofits that we want to help, that we want to support, and we do that as often as we can, whether it's with hosting a foot race from one of our bakeries to the other, which we call the Island Hop. We do that about twice a year. And again, we just funnel all the proceeds to the nonprofit. So we try to be a catalyst for helping out nonprofits that we value and we respect their work whenever we can. We try to do that whenever possible.
Yeah, well, you guys are doing great work, Jason, and I think you're community leaders in that regard. And I have to say that Wednesday Farmers Market has a different look and feel than many other markets around town. You know, the evening atmosphere, it's pretty cool. You see people kind of walking in, and it's kind of like they're doing their shopping for dinner. They hang out a little bit, listen to the music, and then, you know, kind of wander off and go home and cook dinner. But it's if you mm-hmm. haven't enjoyed that farmers market before, I highly recommend folks check it out. Jason, our time is almost already up, so I wanted to give you a chance to quickly mention the expansion and what's on the immediate horizon for next for you guys.
Sure. So we are looking at just a couple weeks here. It's now late June, and we're getting awfully close to having our third location open up, which will be in South Anchorage. And the address for that is 160 West 91st Avenue. If you don't know where that is, I don't blame you. It's a tucked back in a little industrial district of Anchorage, which, you know, there's a lot of industrial districts in Anchorage, and that's despite several years of trying to find sort of a replica of what we've already done, which is find a gem of commercial real estate within a neighborhood and just build on that template. We really weren't able to find something like that again in South Anchorage, so 91st Ave is off King Street, south of Diamond.
Okay.
And we are tucked right next to Anchorage Brewing Company. They'll be our immediate and closest neighbor. And recently, King Street Brewery also moved their brewery and tap room onto 91st Ave. So this really wasn't planned, but it's working out just fine. We're going to be right between two of the more prominent breweries in town.
Not up to be.
As kind of the only food option on that block. And 91st is really just one block long. It jots one block to the west off of King Street.
Okay.
I mean, it ends in a cul-de-sac, and we're right there in the end of that cul-de-sac. So.
And when's the proposed open date?
We are looking at probably the second week of July.
Okay. Well,
all of our equipment moved in and the lights on.
We should tell folks to look for an announcement on Facebook and other social media. I would assume you guys will have a big mm-hmm. grand opening party and everybody should come, right?
Yeah. Well, we're the way we operate is 10 to, we tend to ease into these things, so we will be open and we will announce it on Facebook and other social media platforms, but as is our style, we want to make sure we're not disappointing, so we're going to start out slow and easy and make sure we're doing things to the standards that people expect of us. So we may sell out real early in the day those first couple of weeks just to make sure we're doing it right.
Okay. Well, Jason, I want to take a minute to thank you so much for joining me this morning on Ag Matters Radio. It's been a real pleasure getting to know so much more about you and Greta's story and the bakeries and the farm and all you got going on. We'll have to have you back on the show for an update at some point.
Thanks so much, Amy. I really appreciate being here.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.